and I'd like to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Hank Hughes. He's Executive Director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I've been reading up a little bit about what's going on in New Mexico and what's going on in the country, and there was one of the organizations to End Homelessness had a kind of headline, namely, homelessness is a problem that has lost its sense of urgency. Is that true? What's going on?
Well, I think what they're getting to is the fact that homelessness has been going on so long now that we're starting to accept it as part of life, rather than looking at it as a problem that needs to be solved and dealt with and eliminated. In that sense, I think among a lot of people, it may have lost its sense of urgency.
What is the origin, or what are the origins of the particular homelessness problem that we have today as opposed to 75 years ago?
Well, I think that the difference today is that ever since the 1980s, we've cut way back on our funding for housing for low-income people. And so when there's not enough housing to go around, the people at the very bottom don't have any housing. And that's really, you know, the main problem. We're not spending nearly as much money per capita now as we did during the 1960s and 70s on our housing programs.
Those housing programs did have kind of mixed successes. I mean, there were some really sort of slum housing projects.
Well, that's certainly true, and particularly in places like Chicago, where they built high rises and filled them with desperate low-income people with, you know, no hope of getting out of them. And I think that created, a negative stereotype for all public housing. But really, in Santa Fe, I bet most people don't even know where the public housing is. It blends in pretty well, and it's not all concentrated in one neighborhood.
And that was done intentionally?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, I think for the traditional types of public housing in Santa Fe, it kind of just evolved that way because Santa Fe has grown slowly. And so there is some public housing in the older parts of Santa Fe. And then as Santa Fe grew, you know, the new housing is added as it grows.
And is it always public housing? I mean, is it always kind of mixed income here in Santa Fe?
Well, the public housing itself is not mixed income, but if the developments themselves are small enough, then they have neighbors around them that are mixed income. And some of the more recent developments are mixed income. For example, the Civic Housing Authority's project on Alameda Street, which used to be just public housing, is now a mixed income apartment community. And a different kind of low-income housing is the housing that the Santa Fe Community Housing Trust has developed in their apartment complexes, which are also mixed income, including everyone from formerly homeless people to lower middle class people who just want to rent an apartment.
So let's talk about the problem of homelessness here in Santa Fe. There's different kind of categories, chronic homelessness versus, I don't know what the word is, temporary homelessness?
Yeah. Well, chronic homelessness really refers to the people who are disabled, have a lot of barriers to housing, and have been homeless for a long time. And that's, people who study this have discovered that really makes up only about 10% of the homeless people. But
the most visible 10%.
They're the most visible and they're the most expensive. They're the ones that, if you leave them on the street, they actually cost more money than if you house them because they use the emergency room, they take up the time of the police and the fire department, they're in and out of psychiatric hospitals and drug treatment programs.
Right.
All of which are very expensive.
Interesting. And then the other 90% are who?
Well, the 90% other people are people who are economically distressed. They probably can work, but maybe they just lost their job. Sometimes people become homeless because of a medical issue, although hopefully that will become less of a problem as Medicaid expands to cover everyone in poverty. But so short-term homelessness is usually driven by a particular disaster in somebody's life, And once they get through that disaster, they can become housed again and live a normal life.
So what are we doing here in New Mexico for each type of homelessness?
So the real solution to the chronic homelessness is permanent supportive housing, which is housing that includes very affordable rent, because people in that category are probably living solely on Social Security disability income, and then someone to provide the services they need when they need them. And so that can be anything from ongoing substance abuse treatment to mental health treatment to physical, working with someone's physical disabilities. And those, so that's the way we deal with those chronically homeless people. For people whose homelessness is expected to be short term, you know, it's their first time being homeless, we like to use rapid rehousing, which is basically putting the person right away into an apartment that they choose, and the rapid rehousing program pays the rent for a while until they're able to pay the rent themselves. And that way, their life can return to a form of normalcy almost right away.
Does the rapid rehousing put them in housing that they then stay in, or once they're kind of back on their feet, do they have to go someplace else?
No, the idea with rapid rehousing is that they get to stay in the apartment once they can pay the rent.
Now, what about the folks who are chronically homeless? I mean, what is this demographic? How did folks get that way?
Well, I think it's probably a lifetime of disability that gets people there. A lot of people who are the long-term homeless, chronically homeless people start out with troubled childhoods. They may be homeless as children with their parents. They may run away from home as young people because their home life is not very good, and they start their homelessness very young. And so if you're homeless at an early age, that certainly isn't good for your mental health. But these are probably people who are also predisposed to have a mental health condition, and so the homelessness makes that worse. And then, you know, I think that the hardest people to employ are people with mental health disabilities. People with physical disabilities, employers can work around, but it's very hard for people with mental health disabilities to get a job.
Yeah.
So these are people that may never have really worked in their life. And so, by the time they're adults, they're basically living on the streets or they're living on a very low amount of Social Security income.
For you, I mean, you've been doing this work for a long time with the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Do you get to know these people?
Well, not so much in my current job. When I worked at St. Elizabeth Shelter, I got to know a lot of the people. I do know some of the people now because we encourage people who've been homeless to be involved with our coalition. And so I get to know them that way.
It seems to me that there may, or I don't know, maybe not, be some value in relationship building between the people who are chronically homeless and the people who are trying to help them. I mean, is that part of the deal? Is that part of what you do?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, people who are homeless will find one or two people who work at a homeless assistance agency that they can really relate to, because trust is very important. A lot of homeless people, you know, are really suspicious of the system because it's let them down before. And so having someone they can trust and talk to is very important.
Right, we're from the government and we're here to help you.
Right, that doesn't always go over real well.
We're talking to Hank Hughes of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Now, what about veterans? They are another category of people who make up a significant part of the homeless population.
Well, and the exciting thing about that is that they used to make up a significant part of the homeless population, but we've been working really hard, the federal government has been working really hard to reduce the numbers of homeless veterans, and so it's down to a fairly low number now, and we're actually hoping to get all of the homeless veterans in New Mexico housed by the end of 2015, and then after that, keep it at a very low number.
What have you done in order to make that happen?
Well, I think that probably the main thing, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, is that the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress actually agree on this goal. And so the funding has been forthcoming because, the veterans have, you know, even at the peak, made up about 20% of the homeless population. It's not a super expensive federal program, but it does require a lot of federal, you know, federal funding to house the homeless people. And so through the Veterans Administration and the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the housing is available. And so what we've done on a local level is really just try and locate the veterans and make sure they get to the right place to get into the housing that's available for them.
And then once they're in housing, what kind of maintenance, check-in, et cetera, is needed?
Well, and that all depends on the veterans. I think the veterans fall into those same two categories we were talking to, some who are very disabled and need a lot of supports and will need the housing subsidy forever, and the others who just need short-term help, which is the larger group. And so the people who just need short-term help, you know, probably don't need a whole lot of follow-up. They just need rent assistance for a few months until they and their spouse can get a job and that sort of thing. The people with the long-term problems are going to need help from the Veterans Administration and also from the mental health services in the community ongoing.
What wars are we talking about? Veterans of, I mean, Vietnam, Korea, I mean, Gulf War I.
Korea's kind of a long time ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say everything from the Vietnam War up until now. And surprisingly, I think a pretty hefty percentage of the homeless veterans are still from the Vietnam era.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have they been homeless, the ones you're talking about from the Vietnam era, the whole time? Or did their lives sort of fall apart over time?
I think they've probably been homeless for a good amount of that time, off and on, yeah.
There are some people who I know don't want to be interfered with, who live in the woods, who have their little territory staked out. What is your policy toward those folks? I know it's probably not the majority of the people, but they are there.
Well, that's where outreach and engagement programs are important. I think what we try to do with those people is keep in touch with them so that when they do want some services and do need some help, or maybe they are interested in housing, that they can, you know, access it. Obviously, if someone wants to camp out, it's a free country, and they can camp out. What we find, though, is that something that's sort of fun and interesting and freeing when you're in your 30s may not be as much fun when you're in your 50s and your body starts falling apart. And so there was one homeless veteran who I have gotten to know a little bit who was, I think, living in the bosque down around Albuquerque for 10 years, but finally decided that wasn't going to work for him anymore. And he got into one of our supportive housing programs and got his veterans benefits all set up. And so even though he's severely disabled, now he functions on his own in a house.
Do those people who then are housed form community with one another?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we certainly encourage that. And that's one of the nice things about having a mixed income community is that people can form friendships with people who aren't homeless also.
And that happens.
Yeah.
Now, what percentage of women are we talking about when we talk about the homeless problem across the country and here in New Mexico?
Well, really, it's about half and half. The difference is that women usually come with children. So when we're talking about single homeless people, we're talking about a majority male group of people. But then when we talk about homeless families with children, then we're talking about mostly those are single mothers with children who are homeless.
And so you really have to do the whole family services for both housing and other needs.
Right, right. So they require a different kind of services when there's children involved. But I think with both these populations, really the most important service is housing and stability. Because once people are housed, they can often deal with their own problems a lot better.
Now, are there enough jobs to house, I mean, to not house, but to keep people who are in housing eventually, once they get on their feet, able to pay their rent?
Well, probably not right now in New Mexico. I think our economy is a little bit on the skid still from the recession. But really, I think the biggest barrier to homeless people having a job is usually the housing piece, because if you don't have a place to wash up and get ready, after that, it really depends on their skill level, their interests, and that sort of thing. If they can make it in public housing, they can probably get some kind of a job.
As the director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, you set goals, and you 5-year goals. How are we doing? How are we doing compared to the goals that you set like 5 and 10 years ago?
Well, I think surprisingly, setting the goals really has helped, because we've made a lot of progress. We haven't always made as much progress as we want, but we're really a lot closer to the goal of housing everybody than we were 5 and 10 years ago. When we started our coalition in 2000, there were just 400 beds in the whole state for homeless people with disabilities, and now there's over 2,000 such beds for homeless people, and then an additional number of beds for people who aren't homeless but would be at risk because of their mental health issues. So we've made a lot of progress in the supportive housing area. And what we're doing now really is trying to make sure that we're targeting those beds to the people who need them the most.
Now, this is a coalition. Who are the members of the coalition?
Most of the members of the coalition are agencies that shelter and house homeless people. And so it's everything from domestic violence shelters, youth shelters, emergency homeless shelters, to groups like the Santa Fe Housing Trust, and similar groups around the state that mainly provide permanent housing.
Now, when we look at Santa Fe in particular, what are we doing here? What is the need in this crazy city? I mean, it's the income disparity and the wealth disparity is so huge here.
Well, that's true, but I think Santa Fe in general have a pretty big heart for helping each other. And so what we're doing here, Mayor Gonzalez has signed on to our effort to end veteran homelessness by the end of 2015. And the city has actually made some extra funding available for rapid rehousing for veterans that will become available this month in July. And that's going to help. We also have now a statewide database of homeless people where we assess homeless people and their needs for housing and then store that information in a database so that we can target housing toward the people who need it. So we've located, for example, 21 veterans who are still homeless in Santa Fe. And so over the next couple months, what we're going to do is try and make sure those veterans get into the housing that's available to them, either through the Veterans Administration, other programs that serve the homeless, or these new funding that's coming through the city.
Are homeless people and our veterans in particular getting the health care that they need?
Well, it's a lot better than it used to be. What I've heard is that, you can sign up someone for Medicaid now in a day. And so when homeless people go in for a service, if they go to LifeLink, for example, and LifeLink finds out that they're not on Medicaid but they need Medicaid services, they'll sign them right up.
And then they can walk in the next day and get treatment.
And get treatment, right.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, that's one of the big advantages of the Medicaid expansion, is that you don't have to prove a whole lot to get Medicaid now.
It's
really just income-based, and if you have no income and you're homeless, you pretty much qualify.
Then you're right in. What else would you like our listeners to know about your work?
Well, I think the exciting thing about ending veteran homelessness really goes beyond veterans. Our goal then is to end chronic homelessness by the end of 2016, which means that, we wouldn't have people going years and years being homeless after that. And then beyond that, to really make homelessness a short-term problem instead of a long-term problem for everybody. So I think we, in keeping with the federal goals and our New Mexico partners, our members are really trying to hold our feet to the fire on this, that we'll try and end homelessness for everybody, by the year 2020. So that's a goal. And what we mean by ending it is that by the time we get there, no one will have to be homeless more than a month. Not that no one would ever become homeless, because that people will still have crises in their lives, but that we'd be able to rehouse people within a month. And the exciting thing about if we can house all the homeless veterans by the end of 2015, they're not the easiest group to work with. So if we can do it for them, then we can obviously do it for everybody else.
Hank Hughes is Executive Director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. They are on the web at nmceh.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.